John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
On Saturday the 24th, Santana and the Doobie Brothers are part of our heavy hitter show at the BB&T Pavilion. Tickets are still available through Ticketmaster.com. This gentleman has a new album out called Africa Speaks, and it is now available. I am honored to say that the one and only Carlos Santana is on the phone. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very grateful and happy.
It's been a very long time since I spoke to you before. I do not expect you to remember. But let me just get to some simple stuff, because I'm sort of curious. I mean, you're a kid from Tijuana, basically, right?
Right.
Your family moves to San Francisco. Is that the first place you went, or did you go to L.A. first?
No, San Francisco. We never went to L.A.
Do you think your career would have happened had your family moved to L.A. instead?
Probably, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm unstoppable. It would have happened if I would have been in Fresno.
And who wants to be in Fresno?
Everybody.
Look, I'm a big fan of Bill Graham, and he was a major part of really getting you started, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Thank you for saying that. He really believed in us and me personally. He was a great mentor, and he went out of his way, and he opened many doors for me and my band.
I saw a note about, you know, with Woodstock coming up, I saw a note that basically said he threw you on the Woodstock bill, and the album hadn't been released yet. But I remember hearing that record long before, well, not very long before, but I knew the music when I was at Woodstock when you came out on stage.
It came out exactly a week before we went on stage in Woodstock.
Now, another Woodstock story that always pops up is, well, they were heady times. Did Jerry Garcia, did he dose you or did he give you mescaline, and then all of a sudden the schedule changed and you were on stage tripping?
Right, exactly. But he didn't dose me. He offered it very, very graciously.
Uh-huh.
And I very graciously asked him.
What was that like? I mean, what were you, 19 at the time?
I was 21, 22.
21, 22. I mean, to be there and play in front of 500,000 people, a band that barely anybody knew, what was that like? Where was your head then?
For me, it was very exciting because we were in a place where it felt like for the first time I got to witness humans behaving like we did at the year 2000 when we celebrated from Australia to Honolulu. Humans really getting along with unity and harmony. When the Berlin Wall came down, when mm-hmm. Mandela was free.
Right.
I saw that humans are capable to complement and heal each other, share granola or a blanket, and there was no fights, there was no violence.
Right.
And so I got to witness firsthand that we humans are capable to coexist peacefully, graciously, and with unity and harmony again.
We're talking about, you know, coming out of San Francisco. The Dead came out of San Francisco. Jefferson Airplane and Quicksilver Messenger Service. All of those bands. How much support did you guys have for each other?
A lot. Thank you for saying that, especially because Bill Graham was the ringleader of all that.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody went through Bill Graham, the Dead, Quicksilver, Janis Joplin, you know, including, you know, here and there, Sly Stone. So at that time, San Francisco became the what I call ground center for consciousness revolution, consciousness expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of the Black Panthers and Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez and all that, you know, San Francisco, people were taking notice that there was something happening as far as like a consciousness revolution, including the Beatles were coming to Head Ashbury to find out what this was about, because it wasn't a fad, you know, it was a new ideology, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, on Saturday, you're going to be at the Bethel, Woodstock anniversary. Are you upset that the 50th anniversary show didn't happen? Because you were supposed to be on that, too.
Right. We booked ourselves both shows. One Friday at the new one with Michael Lang, the original person. And we also booked ourselves at the original one place, which is Bethel. But when I get a chance, I'm going to talk to Michael, my friend. I'm sorry he couldn't get they wouldn't get him the permits, and he just couldn't get the permits. But I'm going to make him an offer. I'm going to say, look, why don't we do a Woodstock every weekend in every city?
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow, that would be great.
You know, with with everything that's happening in this nation, people need to believe that you can have from 10 to 10, have a picnic, tie-dye shirts, balloons, grandparents, grandchildren, and have different kind of bands and just like coexist. I think we need to go back to believing that we humans can celebrate our diversity, you know, and really compliment and heal one another instead of what we're having right now.
Well, with the anniversary of Woodstock upon us, let's get to some Santana at Woodstock. Carlos, it's an honor. Thank you so much. The best of luck and all love to you, my man. Well, it's great to talk to you, and we will see you next week, Saturday, August 24th, Santana, the Doobie Brothers at the BB&T Pavilion, our heavy hitter show, Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Stay precious. Bye-bye.